Troy.
No, I'm very serious, man. We want to make an open conversation for anybody that wants to know about this.
Well, here's the wonderful part about the internet, the way it's set up. You could literally put anything. It had a little at sign, the diabetic show, you're cool. So thank you so much for listening. And Dolby, you know, this is another highlight. Is this
show number 10 or something?
When I'm on that final, you know, you get with your life going through my head and I got the Reese's peanut butter in my mouth, I'll be thinking about this show.
Surpassing the surly bounds of Earth, we are the Diabetic Show. Thank you for listening. We will be back soon to a radio or internet near you.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I'm very excited to announce that Monday's morning show here on WGTD is scheduled to begin with a conversation with U.S. Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, talking about a number of important issues, including Britain's withdrawal from the EU and the recent sit-in by Democrats in the U.S. House. Support for the morning show comes from Carthage College Office of Continuing Studies, providing graduate and accelerated certification programs in education to start or advance a career in teaching. Info at carthage.edu/grad. Support comes from Gateway Technical College. Can you fix diesel engines? Make yourself more marketable and make more money with a diesel equipment technology degree. You'll get certification from Gateway's partner, Snap-on. Get information at gtc.edu.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring the Bookmobile, located on 56th Street. Books checked out from the Bookmobile can be returned to any Kenosha Public Library location and vice versa. Kenosha Harbor Market on 2nd Avenue and Plaza Douay is open Saturdays from 9 to 2.
Support for WGTD comes from Andreas. Visit AndreasGifts.com to shop their exclusive hometown collection, including Kenosha t-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, books, and more. Andreas, Kenosha's hometown store since 1911.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus studio location, which is high atop the ultra-modern, full-on, cutting-edge bioscience building. Today, I'm especially excited and pleased to introduce to our listening audience to my guest, Mr. Leo Ekman. Leo is a KUSD, Kenosha Unified School District, Coordinator of Special Education and Student Support. Now, within that capacity, he oversees Special Education Summer School, which he will discuss with us this morning. We have worked in the summer school program in the past, and it is my intent this morning to at least describe some of the unique qualities that comprise his activity and how it supports the overall focus and objective of the KUSD mission. So without any further ado, I'm going to again say good morning to my guest, Leo. Good morning, Leo.
Good morning, Chuck.
And as I do with all my guests, I'm hoping and encouraging him to share some of his professional preparation and credentials as they are supported or contributed to his professional accomplishments and direction to this point. And within that framework, if you could share with us the role education has played in your current position in your life, or in other words, why does education matter to you? Again, good morning, Leo.
Good morning, Chuck. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's very exciting. I've been looking forward to this for a while. We have a week of summer school in already, and I know it's a very, very busy time for you, and I'm just very, very grateful for your time.
Well, no problem. I'd be happy to talk a little bit about my background. A couple things to know about me. As a coordinator of special education and student support, I come from a family of educators, and that is important to me, but also I come from a family in which one of my relatives has a disability, and that those two aspects of my background help shape who I am.
So it's a tremendous sense of urgency. This is very, very refreshing. You oftentimes don't hear that, and especially oftentimes when programs are being looked at in terms of how expensive they are and other implications, oftentimes it's because someone who has the authority doesn't know that much about special education. So I'll let you continue. This is great.
Sure. And I have to admit that as a young person, I didn't want to be an educator, as my parents being in that role, I didn't want to go down that same path. However, as I progressed through college, what was important to me was really in education, learning about other people's stories. I went to Beloit College for my undergraduate, and I studied the humanities, sociology, and religious studies. And my interest in scholarship at that time really was learning about other people's stories and empowering their experiences by listening and giving validity to their stories. And as I progressed through education, I did realize that I wanted to do something with people. And I had considered social work and social welfare type occupations. And then found my way to being a educational assistant working with young people with disabilities in the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
And I really found that that work spoke to me.
Found your niche there.
Yeah. And so I think what moves me about this work and always has is the opportunity to reach people that aren't typically successful in the educational setting.
Uh-huh. And we should say in the traditional or conventional education setting.
Correct. Thanks for making that distinction.
Well, I have a similar story, but this is not about me, and so I can identify with that, and I see where the environment can be very, very compelling.
Yes. So my professional credentials, I have a master's degree in exceptional education from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And I have my teaching licenses from there as well in the areas of learning disabilities and emotional behavioral disabilities. And then I did also go on to get my administrator's license in pupil services and special education. And so I'm serving in that capacity now and very fortunate to work in the Kenosha community, serve the school district here. And I'm very excited about that opportunity, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to serve the students and families here and work with other educators, and I enjoy that aspect very much.
Okay, and it shows. To our listening audience, we have had a number of interactions and where we have worked cooperatively together, not only in the summer school, but also in the IEP process. And I would say from what I've observed, I would have to confirm that your ability to really take on the interests and sense of urgency of the family members and the student is very apparent. It's obvious. And now all of your education credentials and background came from the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, it sounds, as far as the education credential is concerned.
That's correct.
And so you weren't originally from Beloit?
No.
Okay.
I grew up in the Milwaukee area.
Okay.
And I went to Beloit College for undergraduate and completed there in 1996.
Okay. So your local talent, which, again, I believe is reassuring to the local community. It's not like we brought in the expert from Bismarck or somewhere like that. And oftentimes people in general across institutional settings fall into a trap of, and I heard, I think it was Rick Wormerly when we had a convocation one year said, yes, I'm from out of town, so I must be an expert. Mm-hmm. And we oftentimes tend to overlook the brilliance that exists right within our own environment, our own setting. And it must be every time I talk with people that are new here and I'm introducing them to the community, you hear strains of, I'm terribly excited to be here. What is it about Kenosha, do you think? And I can only think from my own personal framework, so I will at least allow you to go a little bit further into that so that other people who may not see the forest for the trees can tend to get some sense of understanding about why people in general, roundly, will say that or refer to their experience in Kenosha in that capacity or that way. We have tremendously inspirational people around us. And so if you could just share just a little bit before we go on with some of the other questions.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Before going there, I just want to acknowledge something you brought up just a moment ago. But, yes, I absolutely am a product of Wisconsin public schools, private college at Beloit, but then the UW system. So, yeah, I am completely from Wisconsin and familiar with culturally –
Exactly. Some of the local dynamics.
Yeah.
And so that, and of course, coming from the Milwaukee area also, you bring that large urban setting, which characterizes, I believe, a lot of the challenges that we experience here in Kenosha. And I'm unsure of how many conferences and so forth you've attended regionally. But I can say this unequivocally over and over again. Whenever I have, I will sit in some session, a breakout session, and someone is going to be talking about some late-breaking, new, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art, as I explained, described our building here, a program that they're doing. And you sit there and yawn and say, we've been doing that in Kenosha forever. Okay, so let's move on. And I find that to be pretty consistently true. Would you confirm that, or do you have any other comments that would clarify that, that really – adds to the excitement of being in Kenosha?
Well, what's exciting to me about the Kenosha community is that it is such a great mix of people. I am drawn to the urban mission, the urban experience for
okay.
education,
sure.
and Kenosha offers that. It is a diverse community with it's a large school system, and I think there's a lot of innovation happening here.
Absolutely.
There's
has to.
Yeah.
We have such a, if I can add and interrupt, there's also that rural aspect.
Absolutely.
That exists from Summers and Pleasant Prairie and so forth. So
that's right.
You can't ignore that. It's like, again, a very urban look as you're driving around here, but don't forget there are 4-H considerations.
What's unique about Kenosha that I noticed right away is that in many urban areas, the suburbanization has broken the districts up into smaller sizes as the suburban communities have their own districts. In Kenosha, the communities have all hung together in the Kenosha Unified School District, like you mentioned, with Pleasant Prairie, Summers, and the city of Kenosha really blending the suburban, rural, and urban experiences. So
it's part of the heritage.
Yeah, it is a nice mix here, and I'm excited about the opportunity to work here. And there are a lot of learning experiences that, for me, have been very enriching to my own professional growth.
Yeah, that's got to be reassuring to you and your family, and as I would hope it would be for our listening audience, people out there that are wondering about and perhaps curious about the buy-in. We have a lot of local talent that brings a sense of personal connection. And I think that's very, very important and unique to our district where you don't have those outsiders. Dr. Sue, perfect example, just a wonderful person, dynamic, and brings that effervescence, I think, that is something that is reflected not only in her but also is picked up by those people that are working around her. Now, so education was important simply, not simply because you grew up in it with your parents as educators, but you mentioned something earlier that was very, very interesting, and talking about your connection with social work and the people's stories, and certainly special education, the special forces of education, is one of those areas that is truly, that's where social work lives in the schools. As far as a professional application is concerned, even the special education teachers are referred to as case managers. So obviously, and I say obviously, and perhaps you can clear this up before question one, Education played a big part in your value system, more so than just the examples that were around you growing up.
What I think you're asking is about my own journey into the world of special education and that mission. But just to back up a little bit, I was determined not to be an educator in the same vein
right.
that my parents were.
Right.
And what spoke to me about special education was really the opportunity to empower or help folks that otherwise don't typically have access to the same type of experiences in education that that the non-disabled population does.
And that was formed by your first experience as an education assistant, and that was at a school in Milwaukee. And from there, it springboarded, you might say, or,
yes.
or propelled from there.
Yeah, from there, I took the opportunity to work in Milwaukee Public Schools as a special education teacher. I worked in two different middle schools before
wow.
working as a diagnostician citywide.
Okay.
I worked in the Brown Deer School system for 5 years before getting the opportunity to come down here and work uh-huh. In KUSD.
Wonderful, wonderful. So similar kind of a community setting.
Yes.
But again, I think you point out and very accurately the tremendous diversity that exists in Kenosha and is accommodated by the city of Kenosha from top down. Now, what programs are offered in the KUSD summer school format? And by that, I'm talking specific. Your role is with the special education summer school program.
That's correct. I work supporting the special education summer programming, and we do hire staff. So the first function that I perform as a coordinator for summer school is to make sure that we have hired assistants, educational assistants, and
crucially
teachers.
Important.
Yeah,
they are the bedrock.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, and we've got some great ones. We truly do. We are so blessed.
Yeah, we're always looking for good assistants, and finding young people out there that have an interest in education themselves.
Sure,
are pursuing their own career goals, looking for employment in the summer. And it's very exciting to, from my own experience, try to reach other young adults that are trying to get a foothold in education.
Budding educators
yeah.
and offering them an opportunity to work in that very, very direct professional development capacity
yeah.
in a very, very challenging environment. Although it is fun. I recall from the Life, Learning, and Leisure in the past that the focus, especially in that particular program, is more on providing a recreational, if not necessarily strictly entertaining, environment, but one also that is productive and has constructive outcomes identified.
So, yeah, I'm very excited about reaching out and trying to find and hire those future teachers
okay.
for our district.
And do they participate in the programming and writing out what the goals are and Common Core integration and those kind of things that have gotten us bogged down in a way or just wrapped up into what perhaps Leo is the type that thinks, gee whiz, I'm spending 90% of my time with 10% of the most unpleasant things imaginable. I don't know if that's true or not. I certainly see that as you get a chance to get around to different campuses that you truly enjoy yourself, and that's where you're in your element, where you're with students, you're with teachers, and you can actually see the products of the programming recommendations that you make and that you're responsible for, accountable for, to reporting on, and probably some of that 90% of your time doing those reports and some of those more unpleasant things.
Well, you know, Chuck, I do enjoy the problem solving aspect
okay,
of my job.
Okay, that's well put.
I there are times where it is frustrating where people aren't happy, but I the original purpose, what draws me to this work, is the opportunity to turn some of those experiences into a win. To bring people back into the fold and to help them find a way to be successful in our school system, whether that's directly related to a situation with a child or with a family.
Boy, what a great tie-in. Very, very important to remember. One of the principals that I'm familiar with said, you know, we're also in the business of educating families, and sometimes you can tend to miss that piece, and that's somewhat a delicate dynamic.
So back to summer school, though,
yes.
Because that was your original question, and
yep.
I wanted to answer.
I want people to know about, are there any features that are new or any modifications you've made since your past with it that were driven by lessons learned or anything like that?
Well, one distinction I wanted to make is that for summer school programming across the district, we offer programming at elementary, middle, and high school levels, and it's really at the building level. The focus is on enrichment. It's an experience that we want kids to have the opportunity to spend some additional time with their teachers and develop their skills a little further than they had.
Even though it may not have been the same teacher they had during the school year.
That's right.
So this is an incredibly important element to learn to make new relationships, manage new relationships, manage some other behaviors and choices in a different setting. Let's face it, the summer school setting is, would you characterize it as more relaxed or different than the conventional school year?
Well, it certainly doesn't feel relaxed right now.
When we're
kicking off.
You're just getting started,
yeah.
Right.
And there always is a big rush because at the end of the school year, we're ready to wind down, but we've got to get into full gear,
sure.
Hiring staff. And, you know, right up to the very end, we were still hiring staff.
Oh, boy.
Those
yes.
assistants are very important. And we were making our last hires directly the week before.
Sure.
The kids are coming on the 20th.
And then there's all the other considerations of how those folks have to manage the transportation issues, buses going here and there. Now, which campuses is the special education summer school conducted?
Well, I you're referring to the Life Learning and Leisure.
Life Learning and Leisure that's one program. Are there special education or are there opportunities for summer school for other students who are eligible to receive special education services to participate on their home campus, for example? And
so that's a really important question. First of all,
glad I got an important one in.
Yeah, thank you. They're all important, but it's an important distinction to make that special education services that are described in a child's individual education program are not typically being offered during the summer programming. Summer programming is outside of the scope of the individual education
of the
program.
IEP. Correct.
And I know you're going to ask another question later in our discussion about a situation that may involve IEP services for a child during the summer school. So we can come back to that. But summer school is available, is offered to all students in the community,
sure.
And it is optional. And we know that students with special needs that want to attend, that their families want to attend, need some support. So we do hire staff to help them access the educational programming during the summer. And when we hire those assistants,
mm-hmm.
it's typically because there is a health need or a specific special need that needs direct support.
Yeah, the special health needs that go on whether it's summer or not.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's important to kind of understand what our focus is in terms of special education during the summer.
Okay.
We're assisting kids and making sure that they're able to access the summer programming, but it is not specially designed instruction that's described in a child's individual education program that's in play throughout the rest of the school year.
Some parents may say, look, I've got an option during the summer. We're going to be on vacation here. It doesn't really work out well with the schedule that you have in place. Before I go to a reintro here, which is one of my administrative responsibilities, when are the sessions? Is there one session for everyone, or Life Learning and Leisure? You mentioned it'll be at Mahone.
Life Learning and Leisure is a summer program that's offered to children with significant special
more
needs.
More significant special
yeah.
needs, right?
And we offer that at the elementary
severe,
level
yeah.
at Stoker. And then the, the middle and high school program is at Mahone.
Okay.
And both of those are modern, upgraded facilities. We have classrooms there. And the focus of that program is really there are some learning opportunities, but the community outings and the social opportunities.
Community integration.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is really an important aspect of that program.
Absolutely.
And it's a great program. It is really, I think, speaks volumes to the commitment of the Kenosha School District to provide.
And the professionals that are conducting the programming. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That we're still able to provide that programming is great. And I know that it can be very challenging for families that have children with special needs to find summer programming, and I'm really proud that we're able to offer that program.
So it starts the 20th of June, and it started the 20th of June, and it goes up until...
It's a five-week program.
5 weeks,
so,
okay.
So, yeah, it's half day.
Okay.
The kids are with us from 8 to 12.
Sure.
It is a program that they can take the bus to get to the school.
Yep.
And they leave at 12. They board the buses to go home at 12.
Okay.
And we try to get at least one community outing per week.
Sure.
The first week, we're really getting set up, getting used to the routine.
Yeah.
And then from there, we make sure that we're planning at least one outing per week.
So the routine would consist of some activities that go on. And this is in the Life, Learning, and Leisure program. But the actual school day mirrors what a student would, in terms of the hourly commitment, be about the same as if they went to Tremper or Bradford or somewhere like that. They're gone by noon, and then people are wrapping up and preparing for the next day and going over, unexpected challenges and those kind of programming considerations that may not have been on the board when they came in that morning.
That's right. That's how it works.
Yeah. It can be reactive.
Yeah.
And that's part of the, I think to some people would think that's an advantage of special education. There's no time to get bored.
No. You got to be on your toes.
All the time. Well, this is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wilbers, and my guest this morning is Mr. Leo Ekman, a KUSD Coordinator of Special Education Student Support. Within that capacity, he oversees the Special Education Summer School Program, which we are discussing this morning. Now, you had mentioned the options that are available and that the programming is available. I'm sure that it's limited by numbers. It's at some point we've got to call it. And but why would someone consider, either a student or parent, the summer school programming for a special education student?
Well, for Life, Learning, and Leisure, Chuck, is that...
That's just one, because, again, someone in the high school could also attend a math class, for example, or a PE, make up a credit-deficient scenario, for example.
Well, yes, that's a good example of why someone might consider at the high school level attending summer school. But summer school does offer the opportunity to recover missed credit opportunities for high school age students. And again, the enrichment is an important aspect. Mm-hmm. If students want to advance their skills in a specific area, math or literacy, for example, summer school offers a great opportunity for that.
Right.
I think one of the draws of summer school is the consistency that it offers in terms of keeping students practicing their academic skills. And I know that a number of families like to blend the summer school, which is a half-day morning program, with some afternoon activities.
That are available in the community.
Yeah, community-based activities, or maybe even family outings, if that's a possibility.
Sure. So for the family that might not find the resident, send them away to Cape Cod, I keep thinking about, but that's where I'd like to be during the summer, for summer camp in a residential setting, which may not be practical. This offers that student a comparable experience that they can share with their peers, whether regular ed or special education, doesn't matter, to be able to say, yeah, we did this during the summer, and it was a really, really good experience. And I seem to recall that from last year. Is again, is that a fair consideration or characterization?
Yeah. Well, I hope it is. Yeah, I think it's a positive experience for our kids.
Right.
I think in general it is. It is a different atmosphere. It is a little bit different environment for the kids coming into summer school than it otherwise is during the school year.
And that focus on soft skills is enormously important as students progress through high school, even the 18 to 21-year-old programming, if they're eligible for that, that soft skills, those, you know, manners, work ethic, character, integrity, those kind of things are very, very important and need reinforcement. We can't just make the assumption this is just going to happen as soon as someone crosses the stage. Now we're ready for community. And again, I think this is a critically important consideration that oftentimes gets overlooked in terms of what oftentimes is supposed to be included in a lesson plan or is part of annual yearly progress. And I see the shutters coming on. Oh, I didn't want to have to deal with that, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, again, a reality.
Yeah, reinforcing those skills is huge. And I know that's a big draw for summer school, in addition to the programming benefits that it offers.
Well, I do have another question that you referred to earlier, but I'm going to go back to that and make sure we hit it. But as we were talking about some of the programming considerations, are there any options that parents or students can request, you know, within the programming, or is it just so tightly, rigidly locked in? It's either you have two choices: take it or leave it. And I don't get the sense that that's the case. But what are some of the options that a student or a parent could consider and request?
Chuck, are you referring to the IEP options, or
no? Within the summer school programming.
Okay. Well. We mentioned life, learning, and leisure, so
sure.
We've discussed that a little bit. That's one option that's available, and you're correct in saying, as you did earlier, that at some point we do have to close it up in terms of
sure.
enrollment. So
yep.
Unfortunately, we're not able to take every student that would like to attend. We do have a waiting list for that program, and we have an amazing staff. We're very fortunate to have the staff that we do. But it is tough to staff that program
mm-hmm.
to the level that
but if I can
requires.
Clarify, then I think that the option that parents or students might want to consider, because it sounds like, hey, we're off and running,
yeah.
and those seats have been filled. But for next year, if someone is credit deficient in a history credit, for example, and really needs that to get to that ready for graduation,
mm-hmm.
for example,
mm-hmm.
Or has seen a need for a science class because they've come to, not an epiphany necessarily, but a realization that, gee whiz, I really want to go into biomedical support, and I would really like a stronger handle on biology in a more specialized capacity. I want to talk about or learn about the specialized vocabulary and concepts that go into that. Is that a realistic option to consider?
Yes, it is. But two other really fundamental pieces that you brought up about summer school programming that I just want to emphasize. In addition to the reinforcement, one of the benefits of summer school programming that is so important is when students are changing schools from elementary to middle school, for example,
uh-huh.
or from kindergarten to first grade. That may not be the change in a building per se, but that's a big change.
In their routine. Oh, it's a
yeah.
visceral change like you
yeah.
can't believe. Yes, it's an enormous transition.
So the getting ready for the next grade level is an important aspect of summer school programming, because if a student is going to be attending Lance
mm-hmm.
Middle School next year, and they're coming from Vernon Elementary, for example.
Or Whittier, right.
One or of Whittier, feeder schools, right. One of those feeder schools.
Sure.
The opportunity to go to summer school, learn the lay of the land, so to speak, know your way around the building, meet a few of the teachers. That's mm-hmm. a very valuable experience. So that is one emphasis.
Builds an enormous sense of confidence, yeah. which has a direct reflection on student success.
Likewise, at the high school level, when we have a new ninth grade class coming in,
sure,
getting ready for that next grade level is it's a great opportunity to take care of some of that
right.
breaking in that goes on with
beyond the
new
bootstrap
students.
Kind of orientation, which is a little bit shorter. Some people need more time to transition. I'm one of them. I learn certain things quickly, and some things haven't learned yet.
Absolutely. So then, you also brought up a question about students who may be credit deficient,
correct,
have missed the essentials in a class or didn't pass a required course for graduation. In summer school programming does offer the opportunity to recover some of those credits and stay on track for graduation in 4 years,
okay.
which is huge. I know that that's a benefit.
And is that in a conventional classroom?
Yes, it can be.
Okay, and it can be. I'm thinking of something else also. There's another option, and I'm sure you'll touch on that, but I realize that there are some self-paced, technologically driven options for that.
Yeah, there are some courses, some computer.
Through Compass Learning.
Yeah, the Compass Learning
format is very, very helpful. And yet it is not without teacher participation and input.
Yeah, teachers are needed for that, absolutely.
Absolutely. You've got to clarify some of those questions and make sure that those concepts are aligned with what, in fact, is a part of the regular conventional school year curriculum.
That's right. So in those types of situations, if students are credit deficient, the summer learning opportunities can really be tailored to their needs.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
That
good
can
to know.
Be... It generally is worked out with the counselor or the case manager, depending on the situation. And so, but absolutely, students can.
So the counselors and the case managers work hand in hand.
Yeah,
And by that, I should say the regular high school counselors working with those case managers who are the special education teachers. And this is a very, very close relationship that I think the students that otherwise qualify for special education services have a tremendous advantage. They have another tier, another layer of support.
Mm-hmm.
And another question that we had talked about and referred to that comes up in programming considerations in the IEP, how does summer school differ from extended school year? People hear about that. What makes the difference between extended school year and summer school? Isn't summer school just a way of extending the school year?
It's a really great question.
Zing, I got two of them.
Yeah, well, that's your most difficult one so far, I think.
Oh, boy. We could play the Jeopardy theme, I'm
right.
sure.
So you promised not to Jerry Springer me this morning.
No,
but,
no. Yeah,
I think we mentioned this
before.
The closest you've gotten.
This is the closest we've come to Jerry. So it's Leo. Yeah.
So, well, anyway, Chuck, extended school year is... for some students with special needs, given the unique nature of their disabilities or their learning needs, may require their services, their special education services, to go outside, beyond the normal school year.
Sure.
And so summer school calendar does offer us the opportunity to meet that need for some students because we are hiring staff. We do have programming. Our buildings are open.
Yep.
And we can meet that need for some students by including them in the summer school programming, and then staff are able to work with them directly and meet those
IEP-driven needs.
Yeah.
Sure.
So generally it's a small population of students that have those specific needs, and it isn't every year that a child may need extended school year services, but there are some circumstances in which students need services outside the school year, and summer school programming is a great way to do that.
And just as a thumbnail example, some of our students that are more homebound – may need extended school year considerations.
Right.
And that is worked out, I suppose, with someone within the school district that oversees their programming and makes sure that they have certainly the resources that they need, but also, hey, let's balance in the vacation time and these kind of considerations that life throws at a family.
Sure. And I think it's important to distinguish between summer school and extended school year. If a child has a need for extended school year, that does not mean that it is the entire summer school. It may be a portion of it. It
Correct.
May be a portion of the day.
Sure.
The child may be able to participate in the full summer school programming, mm-hmm. and a portion of that time may be devoted towards the ESY programming, the extended school year.
And so it can be blended,
yep.
as well as just the summer school is part of a blended program for a child's summer and a family summer, where they may go to the Recplex or YMCA in some cases, or Kenosha Achievement Center or something of that nature. There's a wide variety of different programs that exist throughout the program to support students. Parks and Recreation have great programming.
Yeah.
At the number of different parks and so forth that exist here in the city of Kenosha and can support those students that live in those school boundaries there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I felt it fair to ask. You're an expert at that more so than I would be prepared to talk about, and I don't want to have it sound one-sided. If people have heard about it, this has been, I think, a very, very helpful clarification as to what an extended school year is as opposed to summer school, which is a different programming consideration based on the conventional school calendar.
So let me provide one example of that, if that's all right.
Sure, please do.
For extended school year programming may be offered to a student with a speech impairment, for example.
Ah, yes.
And
okay.
So if a situation comes up where a student is just learning a skill, a new skill,
yep.
and or has made a breakthrough, and they have it's an area of emergent skill, it may be required that we keep working on that so that skill isn't lost.
So you don't interfere with progress.
Right.
And, right.
So that's a common example of situations where we do provide extended school year programming for individual students.
Well done.
I hope that clarifies it.
Oh,
a little bit.
That does for me. And just the specific instance that you just mentioned is an eye-opener, one that I wouldn't probably have considered right off the top of my head. And that's why this whole experience is so helpful in that we're constantly learning and learning from each other. I certainly hope that this information has been helpful to our listening audience, and that they get a chance to, again, appreciate the sense of local talent and importance that education plays in your part and your value system, that this is obviously more than just a job. This is a passion for you, and I think that you reflect that across the board from what I've seen within our district, and that the members of our community, certainly a listening audience, can be very, very reassured by. Now, the toughest question of all, is there anything in the time remaining, which is not much, anything that we've overlooked and that you'd like to add or include?
Well, we could go in a number of different directions here.
I'm sure, but knowing that we're time limited at this point, I've got a great closing. But again, the opportunity to consider the importance of the summer school programming and how this complements the regular school year, I think, has been very, very informative and helpful for those people listening this morning. And we're just very, very grateful and fortunate to have someone of your talent and caliber supporting our district.
Well, that's kind of you, Chuck. I think one thing that I'd like to add is this year we were encouraged, directed by our superintendent to accept all students, as many students as we could, for summer school programming. And as a result, the enrollments have been fairly high.
Wow.
So
okay.
I think that reflects Kenosha Unified's continued commitment to quality programming for our students.
Sure.
And I know there are some situations out there in which we haven't been able to include all students in summer programming, but I think it has been a sincere effort to make that that summer programming available.
Great, and I'm sure there are going to be more lessons learned from this summer as it goes along that you consider for next year.
Definitely.
Well, this has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, your gateway to public radio. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wilbers, and on today's show, my guest has been Mr. Leo Ekman, a KUSD Coordinator of Special Education and Student Support. Within that capacity, he oversees Special Education Summer School, which we discussed this morning. Now, Leo brings a strong professional base of experience and administrative leadership reputation, which contributes to the benefit of the students and families that he serves. We are fortunate as a community to be so richly influenced by the caliber of his talent and dedicated commitment to student success, because education matters.